Thanks, Garrett.
Hello, everyone. My name's Dean. I'm an addict. Got a 900 sec as a sub-feel, and I'm really not sure how to fill them. Okay. In case it all goes wrong, let's hear it's okay to choose life and recovery. I came to NA about 8 years ago for the... What really appealed to me was the fellowship side, the unity side of it, and just to have a break from using, just to stop. It wasn't really to stay stopped. After about 3 months, I decided to go back out and use again. I would like to think that was my decision. After doing a bit of work, I realised it wasn't my decision. I was in the grips of addiction, and I didn't stick around to start working a programme. Life today is a lot different from what it was 8 years ago. You know, I'm 3 years, 4 months clean. It took me quite a while to start actually being quite active in my recovery process. I was okay at coming to meetings and going for coffee before and going to coffee afterwards, but after a while that didn't really work, and I went out there for about 2 years and then struggled for another 2 years of trying to get back in. I remember asking my sponsor, before he became my sponsor, to sponsor me, and I quite simply said to him, "Look, I don't want to die." You know, I really realised at that point that I was going to die if I continued to use the way I was using. The amounts hadn't got any greater than what I'd used before. They'd actually got less. But, you know, I'd end up in quite a mess on a lot less drugs, and just in a room with a bedsheet up against the window, a mattress on the floor, spilled bottles of red wine stolen from Tesco's finest selection, packets of pharmaceuticals everywhere, and pennies scraped together to try and buy some more drugs, you know. And I would have carried on a lot longer, you know. Circumstances never really stopped me, but inside, I just really reached the point that I'd become broken. And I realised there was a solution. You know, I'd seen many people get recovery, get on with their lives, live in other countries, get married, have children, and started to live life how they wanted to live life. They started to have a bit of direction and started to have a bit of control around their life and stuff through working this the 12 steps just there, you know, and the program recovery. So I decided that I had enough, you know, and I was broken. And sat in a really greasy kebab shop with my sponsor saying that, like, I don't want to die, and they gave me a few instructions what to do. And I kind of raced to them every morning. I'd sit there, I'd do my gratitude list, I'd ring them at a certain time, and things slowly started to get better. I started to come to meetings more consistently, as often as possible. And my life slowly started getting put back together. And then I came to a point where I got in a relationship with a girl, and I decided to stop working the program, and the disease really got hold of me. It was, you know, I hadn't touched any substances, but, you know, me without a program, I may as well be using, you know. All my behaviours totally went out the window. I ended up in hospital for 10 days due to not working a programme. Do you know what I mean? It was, I was in an incredibly painful place. And I realised that, you know, jails, institution, death, you don't have to use to reach those places. You can come to meetings and still reach those places if you're not working a programme, you know. And that was a real rock bottom for me in my recovery. And I started to do some inventory around the relationship and stepped out of the relationship and took aside and started to put myself, my recovery, equal first, and started to re-engage in the program, active program of recovery, with a little bit more willingness, really, you know. I started to come back to meetings, I started to get my service commitments, started doing inventory quite regularly, inventory, defects of character, prayer, meditation. Started looking at my step one in other areas of my life. And, you know, recently, 9 months ago, I used that around cigarettes. And then 3 months after that, I used that around nicotine, step one, two, and three, and four, and five. Slowly, after, over a period of time, after putting quite a bit of weight, after stopped smoking, I started to look at that around sugar and stuff, you know. I mean, step one in NA is such a powerful step, you know. It's not about just about the drugs, it's about addiction. Where is my addiction today? You know, I still have defects, but I really try to work a step one around my addictions and where they are. At the moment, I work 30 hours a week. I go to college 20 hours a week. You know, a good day for me is sitting on a Sunday, either watching a bit of, you know, at the moment, X Factor's on, watching that with my parents, you know, and almost being that 10-year-old kid again where I could sit comfortably with my parents in the front room with the heating on. In autumn, you know, and you feel really that warmth and that comfort, you know. My dad got diagnosed with Parkinson's about 18 months ago to 2 years ago, and he's changed a lot. He shakes a lot, and it's really hard to sit there and see my dad, this one strong man who used to carry me up to bed, stands, and he's just shaking and shaking. And that's emotional even talking about it. Yeah, so, you know, I really have to work. You know, my amends process wasn't just about saying sorry to my parents. It's about being there for them, improving my life so they can see the NA program working within me. You know, because for my parents, I'm partly representing NA in that household. Do you know what I mean? It's like what the person they see is the person who's coming to these meetings and talking about recovery. I've got to start showing them some recovery and change my behaviours and stuff, you know. And these are the parents that, at the height of my addiction, I'd tell them to F off and call them all sorts of very nasty names and steal out of my mum's purse when she was downstairs, and I'd, you know, steal from my dad. And, you know, I've kind of, you know, the healing process of this is that by coming, first of all, coming to these meetings and choosing a recovery and getting involved with people working a 12-step programme, they showed me what love is all about, you know, and they love me, you know. These people showed me love, you know. At first, I didn't show a lot of people a lot of love. I could be quite annoying for quite a few people, and I've changed my behaviours, and I've actively tried to amend my behaviours as I go along, because they resurface. There's certain negative defects of character that resurface, and slowly but surely, I've started to be, you know, quite a good product of NA in my family household with my parents. And, you know, we go for pie and mash sometimes, me and my mum and my dad, you know, and we sit there, and, you know, I don't really like pie and mash and liquor that much, to be honest. My dad likes jelly deals, you know, but we sit there and we kind of have dinner together, you know, and that's all part of doing this. And, you know, I'd really like to thank the person who asked me to do service today, you know, to be of service to NA, and I'd like to thank the sponsor for encouraging me to get out of my comfort zone, because I really like sitting on the left-hand side there, queuing up at the door at 6:30 and racing down and getting a comfortable chair ahead of everyone else, because I'm unselfish like that. Do you know what I mean? I like making, you know, I was told when you come to meetings to sit down and sit back and make yourself comfortable, and sometimes I place my needs ahead of others. But it's really lovely to sit in those chairs, because I can sit there and I can kind of, on a Friday after a week at work, you know, a stressful week, and really relax. And, you know, the committee here has always shown me a lot of love. You know, they really have, you know, from the tea, from everyone, really. You know, my sponsors that I've had it previously showed me a way of living. You know, they showed me how to actively live life and enjoy life again. And life can be enjoyable. And they've shown me how to get through the hard times as well. And just been involved for about 300 seconds left. So I'm 2/3 of the way there. Okay. Right, what do I say? Please choose life, choose recovery. It's worth choosing. It really is, you know. It's, you become the script writer, you start enjoying your life and writing life how you want to write it. Since coming to recovery, I've been all around this country nearly, except for Scotland and Wales, but I plan on going there soon. You know, I had fears about getting reservations about getting on planes. That's kind of been removed at the moment, so I'm looking forward to putting myself to, saving up for a holiday to go abroad, you know, and starting to kind of face my fears, you know, go through them as well. You know, same thing I learned from NA is, you know, it does. Life doesn't have to be intense. You don't have to always go up to maximum. You can, you know, you can kind of do it, flow as how you want to flow. And with that, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you.